Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, 2009. The End of America by Porter Stansberry is a financial and political warning book about the vulnerability of the United States monetary system. Positioned as an updated continuation of Stansberry's earlier End of America thesis, it argues that the country is approaching a severe crisis centered on excessive public debt, weakening confidence in the dollar, and social pressures intensified by monetary policy. The book belongs to the market risk, macroeconomic forecasting, and investor survival guide genre rather than academic economics. Its purpose is not simply to predict a downturn, but to persuade ordinary American investors that the post-war dollar-based order is unstable and that preparation should begin before a visible breakdown occurs. Drawing on financial history, reserve currency cycles, and the fourth turning framework of generational crisis, Stansberry presents a strongly bearish interpretation of America near 2009. The book is best understood as a cautionary argument about systemic risk, not a neutral consensus forecast. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the fourth turning framework shapes the book's crisis timetable. A central organizing idea in 2009, the end of America is the fourth turning. A theory that societies move through recurring generational cycles and eventually reach a period of institutional breakdown, conflict, and renewal. Stansberry uses this framework to place the present United States in a longer historical sequence that includes the American Revolution, the Civil War, and the Great Depression followed by World War II. The point is not only that crises happen, but that large political and monetary orders tend to become fragile after long periods of accumulated promises, complacency, and debt. By naming 2029 as a focal date, the book gives its macroeconomic warnings a specific horizon and a sense of historical rhythm. This approach makes the argument more dramatic than a standard debt analysis, because fiscal and currency risks are linked to cultural distrust, elite failure, and social instability. At the same time, the cyclical framework is one of the book's more debatable elements. Readers can use it as a lens for asking whether institutions are losing resilience, but should distinguish that lens from a precise predictive model. Secondly, the dollar reserve system is presented as the foundation of American fragility. Stansberry's monetary argument centers on the unusual power created by the dollar's role as the world's main reserve currency, because global trade, central bank reserves, and debt markets have long relied on dollar liquidity. The United States has been able to borrow on favorable terms and finance deficits more easily than most countries. The book argues that this privilege is not permanent. If foreign governments, institutions, or private investors reduce their dependence on the dollar, the United States could face higher borrowing costs, weaker purchasing power, and a more abrupt reckoning with its fiscal position. The phrase "age of paper money" reflects the book's broader suspicion of fiat currency systems that are not constrained by a hard monetary anchor. Stansberry connects this concern to debates about global monetary reset, including the possibility that future reserve arrangements could involve supranational mechanisms, digital settlement systems, or alternatives inspired by earlier proposals such as Bancor. The practical implication is that currency risk is not just a foreign exchange issue. For American households, it could appear through inflation, asset repricing, and reduced real wealth. Thirdly, government debt is treated as the mechanism that converts policy stress into inflation risk. The book's most conventional economic concern is the size and trajectory of United States government obligations. Stansberry argues that heavy debt limits future policy choices because rising interest costs compete with defense, entitlements, infrastructure, and normal government operations. When a government reaches a point where political leaders cannot easily cut spending or raise taxes enough to stabilize the budget, the temptation is to rely on monetary expansion, financial repression, or other indirect forms of burden shifting. In Stansberry's view, this is how fiscal weakness becomes a household-level problem. Inflation reduces the purchasing power of wages and savings, while shortages or price spikes can damage social confidence. The book links this process to the erosion of trust in paper money, warning that official reassurances can persist even as the underlying arithmetic worsens. A balanced reading should note that debt crises in reserve currency countries can unfold slowly and unpredictably, and the United States retains significant institutional and economic strengths. Still, the book's debt analysis encourages readers to examine interest costs, deficit persistence, and central bank policy as connected parts of one system rather than separate news items. Fourthly, middle-class decline is explained as a monetary and institutional problem, beyond market forecasts. The book argues that the American middle class is being weakened by a system that benefits Washington and Wall Street more than ordinary savers and wage earners. This claim is central to Stansberry's political economy, easy money, deficit spending, and asset inflation can enrich those closest to capital markets while leaving households exposed to higher living costs and stagnant real purchasing power. The argument also connects economic pressure to social fragmentation. When people believe that financial rules favor insiders, trust in institutions declines, political anger grows, and social cohesion becomes harder to maintain. Stansberry presents these developments as warning signs that official measures may fail to capture. This is one reason the book does not treat the monetary reset as a purely technical event involving central banks and currencies. It frames it as a broader legitimacy crisis. The strength of this topic is that it links balance sheet questions to everyday experience. The limitation is that the book tends to interpret many forms of social strain through a monetary lens, which can understate other causes such as technology, demographics, education, housing constraints, and regional inequality. Lastly, the survival playbook emphasizes preparation before consensus changes. A major purpose of 2029, the end of America, is to translate macroeconomic risk into personal financial preparation. Stansberry writes for ordinary investors who may not control policy, but can adjust savings, asset allocation, and risk exposure. The survival playbook element rests on the idea that the best time to prepare for a monetary crisis is before the majority recognizes it. While the available descriptions do not establish every specific recommendation in detail, the book's general orientation is clear: protect purchasing power. Think beyond cash savings, understand inflation risk, and avoid assuming that recent market conditions will continue indefinitely. This places the book in the tradition of hard money and crisis preparedness investment writing, where gold, real assets, foreign diversification, and careful attention to debt often receive emphasis. Its useful contribution is to make readers consider how portfolios behave under currency stress rather than only under ordinary recessions. The risk is that fear-based forecasts can lead to overconcentration or premature defensive positioning. A prudent reader should treat the playbook as a framework for resilience and scenario planning, not as a substitute for diversified advice, liquidity needs, and personal risk tolerance. In conclusion, 2090, The End of America is most relevant for readers who follow macroeconomic risk, monetary history, debt sustainability, and the future of the dollar. It will especially appeal to investors who already worry that conventional retirement planning assumes too much stability in currencies, institutions, and government finance. The practical benefit is that it forces readers to think in scenarios that are often neglected in mainstream personal finance: reserve currency decline, persistent inflation, loss of confidence in public debt, and social consequences of monetary stress. The intellectual benefit is its integration of financial history with the fourth turning crisis framework, which gives the book a broader civilizational argument rather than a narrow market forecast. Compared with many books about inflation or dollar decline, Stansberry's work stands out because it combines a specific 2029 horizon, a reserve currency thesis, and an investor survival orientation aimed at non-specialists. Readers should approach it critically, since its tone is strongly bearish and its timing claims are inherently uncertain. It is not a balanced textbook on monetary economics. Its value lies in presenting a coherent, urgent case for why investors should examine assumptions about paper money, government debt, and institutional stability before those assumptions are tested. If you would like to support Porter Stansberry, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.